Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. I decided to start a podcast where I'm going to talk about topics that concern me most nowadays. Obviously, my first thought was I should introduce myself somehow. To be honest, I've never been a very good communicator, but if I'd ever really want somebody to know me well, I'd probably take them to the pub. You might find it funny, but I've been going to pubs since the age 12, and the most thought-provoking encounters and conversations I've had in my life happened in that place. I even used some of those stories in my films, so I decided to take a risk and take you on a journey with me through my pub memories, and we're going to talk about current situation in Georgia and the general crisis around the world. Let's get started. One of the flashiest memories about the pubs that I can recall is that of a private party that I attended during the COVID pandemic. At that time, we had a curfew and we were prohibited to make crowd gatherings after 9 o'clock in the evening, but somehow we broke it. It was a birthday of a very good friend of ours. We closed down the pub and we were just drinking wine, listening to live music, dancing, chilling, chatting. And then suddenly somebody said that the police is coming. Probably some of the neighbors heard the sound of the music or maybe saw a light in the window. But anyhow, the police was coming and we had to do something very quickly. It was still legal to have like 10 people in one space of that proportion. So some of the people stayed upstairs and all the others, we decided to go downstairs and hide in the kitchen. So we turned off all the lights and it's like around 15-20 people in the dark sitting on the fridges filled with frozen beef and pork and whatnot, like anything they make burgers out of nowadays. And we of course are already a little tipsy. And I'm sitting together with a random guy from the party who I don't even know, and we're holding these glasses of wine, and the whole situation is so absurd, we can't hold a chuckle. But you know when 15 people chuckle together, it's already a noise. So probably police have heard all the murmur, or they just understood that there's supposed to be a kitchen somewhere, so they decided to check it as well, and they came downstairs, so there is suddenly this flashlight straight into my eyes, and I see a police officer directing his phone at me and trying to shoot me. I mean, not shoot me, but like shoot me. Yeah, so yeah, it was really absurd. And then they just left. Basically, the owner had to pay the fine, but as we already were billed, we decided just to continue partying. But don't get me wrong, I'm actually quite a law-abiding citizen. I never really had any problems with the police in my life. This was probably the one and only occasion. Nor were the people who were with us. But when you were in a group and you were a little drunk, these kind of silly situations sometimes happen. All that being said, though, my favorite memory about the pubs is when I went there alone. I was actually going to meet a friend of mine, and I was in another part of the city, so I had to take one bus, then change in the middle of the city, then take another bus, and then take a walk to get there. And after the first station, I just felt like, I don't want to go there anymore. Either it was because of the long way, or maybe I just didn't really want to socialize much. But I turned the corner and decided to take a walk. Right around the corner, there was this pub that I usually go to. I haven't been there in a while, to be honest. And my feet just brought me there on their own. I still went in, and the bartender was so happy to see me, they actually invited me for a beer, so I stayed around. I'm sitting somewhere in the corner at the bar drinking this beer, and suddenly a usual couple came in and they sat right next to me. So my feet were basically touching their chair and I felt really awkward. And I told them about it, like, hey guys, I'm sorry, but I hope I'm not intruding your space or something. What are you talking about? We're coming to pub to communicate. That's the beauty of it. Even if you come alone, you can always find somebody to talk to and make friends, whatever. Just have fun together. We're all like one big family. And it's really so true about this community. Like, there are people who are coming here for 10 or 20 years of their life, and some of them even have met here and married each other, and now they're coming together as a couple. And anytime you come, you always find this group of people who are your friends, but whom maybe you don't even know outside of pop culture. But you can always talk to them, and they're like best friends in the pub. I don't know how else to frame it. But yeah, so I came there alone and I met this couple, and then the evening suddenly turned into something absolutely ridiculous because they decided to cook chanahi in a pub. Chanahi is like a traditional Georgian dish. It's sort of a soup with meat and vegetables and tomatoes and stuff. And the guy who was cooking it, like, went into the pub kitchen, and we lost him for around 2 hours. And we were like already getting bored, and we didn't know what to talk about anymore. And there was this live music playing and stuff. And suddenly he comes out with this big pot filled with chanahi, and all the friends from the pub gather around one table, and we're like eating it. Yeah, that was a bit of a cultural shock for me, maybe. And it's not the first time, actually, because before that, I saw this drunk priest in a pub hugging everybody. Well, that was a cultural shock. I don't know how it is in other countries, but it's something really unusual for Georgian Orthodox Christianity to see a priest drinking in a pub. And he was actually friends with all those people, so I'm not trying to put him in a bad situation here or something. It was just the biggest surprise for me when I saw it for the first time. Yeah. And there was also another day when I was drinking together with the wife of a rich businessman, and she was inviting me for a drink, and suddenly, and she brought her daughter together with her, and suddenly she told me, like, I know you've been working here and there, and you have good connection in this and this university, so could you somehow help my daughter get in there? And at first I thought she's like trying to get an advice from me or something, but she's pouring more and more drinks for me. And I can't help thinking, like, is she bribing me? But maybe I was too naive to assess the situation like that, or maybe I was still in doubt. I was like trying to tell her that I don't want to drink anymore, but I kept drinking, and we drank, and finally I stood up, and I can't hold my feet together, I'm falling over, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm sorry, but I have to go home now. And she brought me to the taxis that she called for me, and when we were like already outside of the pub, and suddenly, and I slipped, and I fell on my ass. I know it was painful, but I was so drunk I didn't even feel the pain. But it was so humiliating. Anyway, she helped me to stand up, she put me to the taxi, sent me home, and in the end, I didn't help her daughter get anywhere. We still meet maybe once in a year in the same pub, and she's still like saying hello and hugging me and everything, but I still feel awkward for that situation. Why I'm telling this story is that pub community is of course something I really love, but also pub is a place for me where you can encounter all sorts of situations and people from all walks of life that you probably wouldn't encounter in one place in such a capacity anywhere else. For example, there was an incident once around the pub where a foreigner got an overdose and they had to call ambulance to help him, but the ambulance refused to take him. The thing is that in this kind of situations, they also have to call the police, and because he was a foreigner, there would have been a very big international scandal or something. So unless he was still breathing and could hold on, they would leave him on the street without helping him. I didn't witness the situation, but I heard people in the pub talking about it, and the conversation was really like eye-opening, maybe. We were talking about the oath that every medical personnel is giving before they start their job, like the Hippocrates oath, talking about hypocrisy, yeah, and how nobody really cares anymore, and it's just a formality. They don't really mind or care about saving people's life as long as they obey the rules, and they're like only making money. And the conversation sprung up because even my grandmother would always tell me when I was a kid that if you want to be somebody in life, you either have to become an engineer, a doctor, or a lawyer. Those were, together with businessmen, those were the three most popular and most paid professions in Georgia for many years. But somehow, in modern society, a lot of people don't trust doctors exactly because of those kind of situations. I'm not sure who they trust less, actually, doctors or politicians, but that was the case. The conversation took a very philosophical turn afterwards, and we talked about the goals in life, about Nietzsche and Übermensch and all that stuff. But of course, a few people from the pub ran and they brought the water for the guy. They helped him, but nobody really complained or made any move to like change the situation in the society where doctors like that exist. Maybe that's why this conversation is still on my mind, I don't know. And also that I had an encounter where I was like smoking a joint together with a police officer. I mean, he wasn't really smoking, it was just me and my friend taking a few puffs, one of the regulars invited us for. And he was pretty alright with it. He was standing next to us and he was saying that when he was young, he would also do it. Like, yeah, I also did that when I was young, but when I started my job, I stopped. And I know you guys aren't bad people and you're not selling drugs to addicts and you're not drug dealers or something, so it's all right. But then we have bigger problems out there. He kept on telling us all the terrible stories about the situation, but he was like standing next to us and not doing anything about us, just smoking a joint. But it's not always like that, of course. Especially in recent years, when the relationship with the police drastically changed. My relationship with pop culture also changed. Last time I went there, I just felt disconnected. Maybe because when you go out of the pub into the street, you see this charade of people marching in the streets who are protesting against government nowadays. It's been happening for more than 1 year already. And every time I pass by and like awkwardly smile, people that are recognizing the crowd, and I can't cheer, but I would lift my fist and salute them. Like, oh yeah, I'm just drunk and sad, going home, wherever. You can't really close your eyes on what's happening anymore. But I never saw myself as an activist, to be honest. How should I say it? For the last 30 years, I've been watching people go out there into the streets, vent their anger, and try to protest against what's happening. And especially in recent years, I've seen people lose their eyes, being beaten up, being put to jail for what they believe in. It's really hard to watch, especially when the people that right now are in jail are my colleagues. Maybe I don't personally know a lot of them, but they're like friends of my friends. I realize that I don't really have an answer to this question of what should we do as a society to avoid this kind of situations, or whether there is still a way to find a balance in such a radical world. I always remember that story from a French professor that I met once, and she was telling me that in the university structure out there, there were a lot of professors recently who've been implementing a very Nazi ideologies to students. And she felt like she was the only one who didn't share the idea, and she wanted to leave, but she decided not to. She, in her head, felt like staying there and trying at least to play a little role in changing those students' minds who are still growing up and feeding on that ideology, and maybe show them that there is also some other perspective. I know maybe in France it sounds easier, and here those kind of people have been fired from their jobs. That's what makes it even harder now on us. Where is that line where, like, you meet a person and they're really honest, kind. They talk to you, they care about you, they look you in the eyes and you don't see any evil in it, but then they choose not to participate in what's happening. It's kind of sad, but I also heard from the same people from the other side who used to be in protests before, and they in first person experienced the way that politicians are using your honest protests in their own interest. And in the end, for the people who are sitting and watching media, be it television or even social media, the way all of this is framed is really like you can't get the message across from the actual people. You only get the political ideologies, even from the citizens. I don't know, maybe they're just getting infected by the ideas and they keep repeating them without understanding. And you don't feel empathy for those people. And a lot of times I get that also the other people who, same as me, can see that getting angry and venting their aggression towards those people who have been lied to. It doesn't matter, it's left or it's right. In our country, politics sound radical from both sides. I'm not trying to speak about the people who I also met who were just going there out of solidarity for, be it Ukraine or other citizens. It's difficult to make out the numbers because, well, you can see all kinds of people out there. And then at some moment, you can see also those people closing their eyes on the actions of those who are aggressive. Like they come there with their children and at some point they like go away and say that, okay, now the bad part starts, so we should run away. And when I realized that, something clicked in me maybe. I mean, I know that a lot of people there are really honest, but does it really work? In the end, a lot of people who are no longer going out or just decided not to participate, the argument comes from the idea that all politics spend on money. It doesn't matter how true you are to your idea and how much you want to be a hero who's going to change things in the country and break this cursed circle. Once you get in there, you just have to get your hands dirty. And the money always decides. I always thought that we should change things from the inside, because those people who take the money indeed are the ones that take all the chances away from us. I always thought that maybe if you are true to yourself and you go out there and somebody offers you money and you refuse it, maybe things could be different. But also, I've heard stories where people will go like, well, when you're there, you cannot refuse. And it's really true, because a lot of people have heard been
bribed in recent elections. They were in the lowest stage of their poverty and they all had loans from the bank. And the government would buy those loans off of them and demand to vote for certain people and all kinds of things like that. So they surround you from every possible direction. You just don't have a choice. Maybe there always is a choice, I don't know. Maybe in some situations there is a choice. And I honestly understand those people who are getting angry and shouting and screaming and those people who are using the situation to get rich and get ahead. Something in my gut is just refusing to choose the strategy that's been around for 30 years and never ever really worked.
In the next episode, I'm going to try to interview a few locals to see how the people actually see the possibility of finding a middle ground and coexisting in this fast-changing reality. Thank you for your attention, and of course, don't forget to follow and subscribe. Your support is really important for us.